Kedushas Levi for Parshas Achrimos. Yirtzeh Hashem, tomorrow we'll do Kedushas Levi for Parshas Kedoshim. Double Parsha this week, no? Okay, Achrimos. Achrimos, Shnei v'nei Aaron, b'karvasan lifnei Hashem v'yamusu. We know that in Parshas Shmini, we read about the tragic passing of the b'nei Aaron. How Nadav and Avihu entered into the Kodesh Kedoshim. They offered some type of strange offering. A little unclear exactly what happened. It was an Eish Zara. It was a foreign offering that Hashem had not commanded. You look in the Midrashim, you look in Chazal, there are many, many opinions of what exactly happened here. I think Chazal, in one place in the Midrash, collect 12 different possibilities. None, of course, are what the Pasuk itself says, which is that they brought a carbon that they weren't asked to bring. So the Bedichver wants to highlight two of the opinions and try to understand what was the avla, what was the sin, what was the crime. Again, it's a very holy crime. Let's not kid ourselves and think this was a simplistic mistake. Right, but two opinions in the Tanayim of what went wrong. The first one he explains clearly. The second one, we're missing part of the Torah, so we have to guess a little bit what the punchline is. Okay, but we begin, Pligi Tanay, Rabbi Eliezer Yoshua. Classic Machlokas Tanayim, always the Bar Plugta, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, and they disagree here. Rabbi Eliezer Savar, Shehor Halacha Bifnei Rabban. Rabbi Eliezer says the problem was that they paskined in the presence of the Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu without Rishus. They paskined without asking the Rebbe. Horu Halacha Bifnei Rabban. Rabbi Yoshua Savar Shuye Yayin Nichnesu. And Rabbi Yoshua holds that they were drunk when they carried out this avoda. Tzarech Lada, says the Berditcher, I don't understand. L'man d'amar horo halacha b'fnei rabban. So if you hold that the mistake, the crime, was that they did something without the rishos of the Rebbe, ma'u shenemar b'karva sam l'fnei Hashem v'yamusu. Where is that hinted to in the words that they drew close to Hashem and they died? How did Rabbi Eliezer know? What did he see in the pasuk that was megala to him? They were murdered by malchus. Right? They rebelled against the Rebbe. The Rebbe was a shtickel melech. Moshe Rabbeinu is a melech. He's a gadol ador. Where do we see that hinted to in Bekarva Sam Lifnei Hashem that they drew close to God and they died? V'im ibnei shalo shalu l'moshe. And if you'll tell me that the sin was the fact that they didn't ask permission or seek the advice of Moshe Rabbeinu, ikar chaser. So then that's lacking. That's not in the pasuk. V'chein le'idach tana nami kashazos. And according to Yeshua, that they were drunk. Where did you get that? Where is that hinted to in the pasuk? V'nira de'lamand amr shahor alacha b'fnei rabban. Let's start with the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that the mistake of Nadav and Avihu was that they did something without asking permission and getting the advice of the Rebbe. Ha'pei reshu shal b'karvasam l'fnei Hashem. Right? And that is the perish of Bekar Vasam Lifnei Hashem, that they drew close to Hashem. The Gemara in Brachos tells us in Daf Lamed that one who is Mora Halacha, one who paskins a matter in the presence of his Rebbe, without the consultation of his Rebbe, is Chayav Misa. It's very serious. And that's not only if he gets it wrong, that's even if he gets it right. Afal Pishahor Kadas. Even if he paskin in accordance with the law. The very fact that you overstepped a person's chayiv misa. Why? Why is that so? So the Berditchever has a very, very important yisur. Now I want to just pause here for a second and tell you, Avart, like I mentioned a moment ago, that I'm not going to say exactly right. Because I realized only this morning, once I had left my house, I remembered this Avart. So I don't have the sefer with me. And the Kli Chemda. The Kli Chemda was a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. He wrote a primarily Lamdisha Halachic Chumash Sefer called Kli Chemda. Rav Meir Don Plotsky was his name, big tzaddik, and you know, one of these Polish tzaddikim who had the Lamdis and the Chasidus and had, you know, Avnei Nezer was Rabbi of Sokacho, father of the Shem Yishuv. So anyway, so Rav Meir Don Plotsky writes in his Sefer Kli Chemda that when Rus is contemplating, and think about this in the context of Sfira on the way to Kabbalah Satorah, Rus is contemplating becoming from. So she has a conversation with her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law says, you know, I think you should go back. I don't think this is a good idea. Naomi says, you should go back. You slept around with me. I'm a downtrodden woman. I lost my wealth, lost my family. I'm a waste of your time. Go back to your people. Ruth was a princess in her previous lifetime. Now she's a lowly Jewish girl, or on the way to becoming a lowly Jewish girl. Right? Or so it seems superficially. And she sees that she's hesitating. She sees that Ruth wants to stay. Arpa threw off the yoke of Yiddishkeit, the potential yoke of Yiddishkeit. She ditched her mother-in-law and went her separate ways. But Ruth, she wants to come. She sees that she's misametzes. She sees that she's struggling to part ways. So she says to her, I just want you to know there's a lot of halachos. You should know we have a halacha called Tchum Shabbos. I'm reading to you now from the Gemara in Yevamos Mem Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara has the whole conversation from the Psukim in the first parak of Rus, and it tells what was Naomi really saying to her daughter-in-law. So she says, you know, we have something called Tchum Shabbos. So what does Rus say to her? Where you go, I will go. Where you're allowed to walk on Shabbos, that's where I'll walk on Shabbos. So she said, well, we have an Isser called Yichud. A lot of rules between husband and wife, between male and female, between the genders. And again, she says, I'll do what you do. Where you sleep, I'll sleep. I'll follow all the rules. And she goes on and on and on and on, giving her all these examples. What's this idea that she started with Tchum Shabbos? Why'd she introduce her, first and foremost, to the Isser Tchumim? Yevamos Mem Zayin Amud Beis. So the Kli Chemda says, because one of the most yisodistic things that a Jew needs to know if you're going to be successful in this world is that there are Tchumim, that there are boundaries. I told you the Pshat yesterday, in passing, when we were learning, from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. Pasuk says that a woman shouldn't wear a man's garment, which the Targum Yonasan says it means that a woman shouldn't wear a man's garment, which is tefillin. It says this in tefillin. It was very funny. I wanted to send you guys a picture last night because you ever see like that kid like tefillin set, the plastic tefillin set? You ever see those? The fake talis and tefillin. Anyway, so I came home yesterday and my meir was busy wrapping tefillin on her arm. I was like, I just spoke about you today. What does the pasuk say about a woman who wears a man's garment? She's pretty good at it. Not sure where she saw that. Right? It's an abomination. It's a toeva. It's a repulsive thing in the eyes of Hashem. So says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, I understand. The pasuk pshat of the pasuk is that a woman's going to dress like a man or a man like a woman for lewd behavior. I understand why God says that's repulsive. But if a woman wears tefillin, how could that be called toeva? And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says that a person has to know their place. One of the kinyanim of Torah, look in the 48 kinyanim of Torah, in the sixth parak of Avos, the parak kinyan Torah, the brace of kinyan Torah. Hamakir es makomo, that's one of the ways that you acquire Torah, by knowing your place. So Rus is informed right off the bat, you want to be a Jew? You have to know that there's tchum, you have to know that there's boundaries. You have to know that different people play different roles, and if a man understands his role, and if a woman understands his role, and if an elder understands the role, and the younger ones understand the role, it can't be like the moments before Chedem Ragn and Bir Buvio, where everyone just pushes ahead and goes where they want to go. The first thing you need to know, if you're serious about this, is Tchumen. That there are boxes, there are boundaries, there are borders. It's not Hefker. And if you can live within that box, and grow within that box, then Gevaldik. I told you my Peshat a couple weeks ago. We say in Musaf, Vatita Enu Bigvuleinu. Mamash, a contradiction of terms. Titaeno means to grow, to sprout, like a tree, natiya. Gvul is very limiting. So am I expanding, am I sprouting, or am I limited? And the answer is, a Jew has to know how to be vatitaeno bigvuleinu. You have to know how to stay within your appropriate box, not to overstep, and at the same time, to be a Jew who is a growth-oriented Jew. So that's the Kli Chemda's pshat on Rus. The first thing you need to know is there are borders and there are boundaries. You can't go wherever you want, do whatever you want. If you're not going to live the life that you're meant to live, then Hashem says it's an abomination. It's not just a disappointment. It's a disgrace. I gave you an neshama to live a certain way. You abused it. You misused it. Whether that means adopting the wrong type of frumkeit for your soul, or whether it means, God forbid, not being connected to your soul bechlal, not living a life of Torah if you're a Jew. You have to know what's expected of you. So with that Hagdama in mind, and by the way, in Mitzrayim, this is one of the big problems in Mitzrayim. The root of all Galus, which is Galus Mitzrayim, we know from Chazal that they were very much involved in mixing up the roles of men and women. that the men did women's work and the women did men's work, as described by Chazal and the Svarim HaKadoshim, the Sefer called Gan Raveh. He talks about this. This is the Gullus of Mitzrayim. Dafka, not knowing one's place, getting lost, lack of understanding of the equality of the genders doesn't mean that men and women are the same, or that a person chooses their gender. It's not what it's about. It's about understanding and embracing the mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent you on. So now, with that lengthy hakdama, and I'm sorry for rambling a little bit, but I think it's an important hakdama, now we can understand why is it so severe, why is it so serious for someone to paskin correctly in the presence of his Rebbe. Dine Hashem Yisbarach bara mechitzos mechitzos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created fences, walls, boundaries. V'chol malach shenichnas lefnim mechitzos o nisraf. And a malach who crosses the line, a malach, a lower level malach. There's ten madrigas of malach in the Rambam describes in Yisod HaTorah, if I'm not mistaken. A malach who crosses the line, crosses the border without a passport, he's in big trouble. Nisraf. He's burnt up. He's consumed. It's a holy fire, but he no longer exists because he didn't know his place. Assuming that the srafim are the top of the chain, down to the next world, right? From srafim to chayos, and through the contraction of Hashem's divine light, we go from biggest to smallest, right? Again, this is a rough outline, obviously. From Srafim to Chayos to Ofanim, each Malach has its place. Each Malach understands that he has his place. And Hashem is called Makom. Hashem is every place. Hashem is all places. So you can, yes, you can have an authentic encounter with Hashem from wherever your appropriate place is. And the notion that, no, I want to go to a different place to have a different encounter with Hashem, to have a better encounter with Hashem, is a complete perversion of the recognition that Hashem is Echad and Einod Mavado. Hashem is called Makom. He's everywhere. You don't need to cross that line, sneak across the border, you get yourself in trouble because of a dimyon, of a better life on the other side of that border. Obviously, in the physical world, yes, there sometimes is a better life on the other side of that border. In the spiritual world, the borders into which you were created is exactly where you need to be. And therefore, just like if a malach crosses its line, it ceases to exist. A Jew who doesn't know his place destroys himself. He thinks he's getting closer to Hashem. He thinks the relationship with Hashem is getting deeper and better and loftier. But lamaisa is destroying his soul. It may be a very holy way to destroy your soul, but nonetheless it's an avera. And it's not what Hashem wants. It's an esh zara. It's a hislavus, it's a fire, it's inappropriate for you. It's a chumrah that doesn't fit in your life. It's a stringency, it's a level of kedusha that you're trying to live by, which you're not ready for. And you look silly. And you're negating your life by trying to be something that you're not. Hashem Yisbarach, Tzimtzim Shechinasa B'Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom, when it came to the transmission of Torah and kedusha amongst the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mitzamtzim His Shechina and gave it over to Moshe in a certain way. Umi Moshe la Aaron in a certain way, and umi Aaron la Banav in a certain way, umi Banav la Zakenim. Sounds familiar. Moshe Kibel Tarmi Sinai, Mesorah Yeshua. Yeah, this is the Hishtalshalus of the Mesorah. The Gemara in Erevin and Daf Nun Dal discusses it. Umi Hem le Neviim, and of course from Aaron uBanav to the Zakenim, Zakenim to the Neviim. Anshe Knesset Hagadola. Again, the opening Mishnah Perkei Avos. Umi Hem lechol Yisrael. Umi Hem lechol Yisrael, and then it was. Then it was disseminated amongst the Jewish people in the right way. As Chazal explained in the Gemara in Erevin I just mentioned, Ketzad Seder Mishnah, what was the order of transmission of Mishnah? What was the transmission of Torah? Hashem, Moshe, Aaron, Banav, Zakenim, Neviim. And God forbid for a person not to understand and to appreciate and to recognize his place in that chain. God forbid for the Talmud to not know his place, for the Rebbe to not know his place, and everyone, by the way, is Rebbe, and everyone is, by the way, Talmud. Makir es makomo, it's one of the 48 Kinyanei Torah. You need to know your place in the world. Ubnei Aaron ratzu lalos yosr mitzimtzum shalahem. So Nadav and Avihu, with the purest and holiest of intentions, couldn't bear to be boxed in. We want to go up. Bikar vasam lifnei Hashem vayamusu. How is that hora halacha b'fnei rabban? The answer is they overstepped the lines. Because of what? Bekarva sam l'fnei Hashem. They wanted to be close to Hashem. They didn't realize that Moshe, Aaron, Banav, that's also close to Hashem. No, we want to be close to Hashem like Aaron, like our father. We want to be close to Hashem like Rabban Shal Yisrael, like the Tzaddik Ador, like Moshe Rabbeinu. But you're not Moshe Rabbeinu. You're not Moshe Rabbeinu. V'lo shalu es Moshe Rabban, v'yikrivu atman l'fnei Hashem. They didn't ask the Rebbe. They made the decision on their own. Asil charav. They didn't ask the Rebbe, and they drew close, and it was damaging. Shehem yekablu me Hashem yisbach. Kabbalah. Kabbalah is not just the study of mysticism. Kabbalah is the way, with humility, one receives from his Rebbe. The way that a person receives from his Rebbe. Rabbi David Aaron tells a story in the Hakadama to one of his many svarim about his one of his first encounters with Mekubalim. He was invited to this very secretive gathering place, Mekubalim, and he walks in, and the Rabbi was giving, one of the Tzaddikim of Yerushalayim of yesteryear was giving over. And he walks in and gets quiet. A new guy in the shir. So he says, the Rebbe, I don't know if he was standing by a shtender, let's assume he's standing by a shtender, he opens up a shtender, he takes out an apple. And he holds up the apple. He signals to Rabbi Aaron, Everyone's watching. Well, I don't know, what do I do? He's standing there, he's trying to figure out, supposed to say something? Am I supposed to do something? So he walks forward, and he's standing there, face to face. Interesting, awkward-ish moment. And finally decides to take the apple. So he wants me to take the apple. So he puts out his hand to take the apple. Rebbe pulls back the apple. Okay. So he recoils a little, he retreats a little bit. And then he puts out the apple again. So maybe so you're playing that slapping game, you gotta go fast, So he puts up the apple again, and he tries to take the apple a second time. No luck, he pulls back the apple. So Rabbi Aaron cups his hands, be makabo, make himself into a kli, and then he drops the apple into his hands and says, go sit down. Now you're ready. Kabbalah, Moshe Kibel Torah Mesinai. Moshe didn't take the Torah at our Sinai. Moshe cupped his hands, it was makabo. Sandy, did I tell the story right, more or less?
I think I heard it from Rabbi Aaron.
You heard it from Rabbi Aaron, okay, good. Mamish a Gavalik story. That's Kabbalah. A Jew doesn't take Torah. A Jew is Mekabel Torah. It's a Kabbalah. So they decided, we want to be Mekabel from Hashem. It wasn't just that they were taking. They wanted to be Mekablim. But they skipped steps in the ladder. They said, we're going to be Mekabel directly from Hashem. It's like a Malach who crosses that line. Meloi de Moshe, Umoshe la'aron, la'aron lahem. They wanted to go out of order. Nisabatlu m'mitziyusan v'nisrafu. And that was the end of them. Again, a holy death. Let's not kid ourselves. They died a holy death. They died because they got too close to Hashem. But it's still an Aveira, and it's still an Eish Zara. It's a Hislavus Asher Lo Tziva Osam. That Hashem never commanded them. V'hu adin b'chol Yisrael b'chol dor v'dor. The same thing is true in each and every generation. Hashem Yisbarach mitzamsim shchinaso l'gadol ador. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives himself over most fully to the Gadol Ador, umimenu the Talmida, and the Gadol Ador to his Talmud Mufak, and his other Talmidim, umehen l'chol Yisrael, and from there again, it spreads outward. V'hanar yotze me'eden, v'hashkos hasagan, umisham yiparid into the four pathways. They say about the Tzadikim, there was the Baal Shem Tov, then there was the Magid, and then it broke off into four branches. You gotta know your place. A Yid needs to know his place. A person who's growing outside of his box, a person who decides to climb over the wall, lilmod ba'atzmo, to learn on his own, and to forge a new path, not a new path that is appropriately his path, but an entirely new path, one that has no place in the many strands of the Mesorah. Let's not kid ourselves, the Mesorah is one thing. Mesorah, there's many strands within the Mesorah. But someone decides, I'm going to break off and do completely my own thing. Without receiving through that proper channel, that pipeline, channeling Elokus down from the higher realms from his Rebbe, who received in turn from his Rebbe, Chayav Misa. You're Chayav Misa in the sense that you've broken the chain of Chiyus. Hashem is Atam Achayas Kulam, like we say in Suga de Zimra. Hashem, you invigorate, you give life to everything. But if I step out of line, yeah, if I unplug, person's on life support. All the wires can be hooked up to me, but if I just unplug the power source, no matter how connected I am, right, I'm missing a link, and I'm a dead man. And that's what it means. A person who's more halacha b'fnei rabo is a dead man. He's chayav misa. He's broken his connection to the inseparable chain of life. V'zeu b'karva sam l'fnei Hashem v'yamusu. And that's what it means. They drew close to Hashem and they died. Why does Rabbi Elazar say this means that they paskin without the Rebbe? Yes, they tried to get too close. They didn't understand that it doesn't happen overnight. That you don't surpass your Rebbe in one day, in one decision. Everyone's a Rebbe and everyone's a Talmud, and you have to know that in a clear way. Klomar yiskarvu atzum l'Hashem yisparach shelo yidei amshachas tzinorim l'Moshe u'mimoshe l'Aaron u'mi'aron l'hem v'chein kor lehem ko. And that's why what happened, unfortunately, happened. And that's why the Pesukim described to us right after, here in our parsha, Achrei Mos Shnei B'nei Aaron, what are we taught about? If I asked you to tell me, sum up the parsha, what are the two topics in this week's parsha? In Achrei Mos, what are the two topics? The first part of the parsha is about what? Avodas Yom Kippur. What's the second part of the parsha about? The Isser Arayos. Right? Forbidden sexual relations. Relationships. Yeah, that's why, by the way, that was the most simple pshat, and why Mincha time on Yom Kippur we read about the Arayos. Because the parsha of Achrei Mos is about Yom Kippur and Arayos. What the connection specifically between Yom Kippur and sexual intimacy is there's obviously many layers to think about there. But those are the two main topics in our parsha. What's the first thing the Kohen Gadol himself, Kohen Gadol who is Kodesh Kadashim, what does he need to know? As much as you're the holiest man, and you're the top of the chain, and you're the Gadol Ador and the Tzaddik Ador, and you're the one who's going to be mashpia upon so many others, but you also can't take whenever you want. You also have to put out your hands to catch the apple, not to take the apple. And therefore the Torah tells us right off the bat, v'zeo v'al yavo b'chol eis. V'al yavo b'chol eis. Perek tezayin pasuk beis. Second pasuk in the parsha. Aaron, you should just know. V'yomer Hashem Moshe daber al Aaron achicha. Even the way that Aaron received this message is through Moshe. Not direct. Hashem tells Moshe, go tell Aaron, Ba'al yavo b'chol eis ala kodesh mi beis laparochas. You can't come into Kodesh Kadashim whenever you want. El panei ha-kaporis, to come face to face with the Aaron. Asher ala Aaron. V'lo yamus, don't kill yourself. Ki banan era'e ala kaporis, because only with the avoda of Yom Kippur and that cloud of ketores, the cloud of the smoke of the ketores, only then are you invited in. Know your place. Ba'al yavo b'chol eis. B'chol eis hu l'mala me'atzimtzum. Shechol yom v'yom yesh lo tzimtzum b'fnei atzmo. Every day there's a different point of connection. And you can't find that on your own. If you have to ask your Rebbe, where do we connect today? To where do we travel today? And your Rebbe asks his Rebbe. And everyone's part of, again, that mesorah, with humility, knowing one's place. Ki l'chor l'man d'amer mor alacha b'fnei rabo hayu. Because again, according to Rebbe Eliezer, that they paskined without the Rebbe's reshus. So what does it mean? Va'al yavo b'chol eis. Yes. B'chol eis, says the Berditcher. Ma'o b'chol eis. Ach lafiza hu muvan. The b'chol eis means that every time a Jew is contemplating a new stage of life, a new day, a new behirus in Elokus, a new understanding of God, don't take it on your own. Make sure you run it by your connection, wherever your Mesorah connects. But make sure it's something that you're makabel and not something that, God forbid, you choose to take. Okay? The second half of this... There's three pieces in Achrei Mos. The second half of this piece, that was Rabbi Eliezer's Shita. The second half is Rabbi Yoshua's Shita. But I'm going to skip it for now because we only have a little bit of time together. Okay, if there's time, maybe we'll come back to it. It's less clear, and I'm not saying that as a critique. It's because we don't have the whole piece. We don't have, my Savior here says, Chaser Hasiyum. We don't have the whole Maimah. Okay, so let's leave Shita's Rabbi Yoshua for now. Again, what was Rabbi Yoshua's Shita? That they were drunk. When they went into Kodesh Kadashim, when they went to bring this offering. Okay, so let's leave that for now, and let's go to the second piece in the Parsha, and the third piece of the Parsha, both of which are very, very practical and very, very important. The pasuk says now here in Parak Yud Ches. Parak Yud Ches already getting into the Arayos. We finished the two prakim that discussed the Avodas Yom Kippurim, more or less. And now we get into the Isurei Arayos. And we find an interesting pasuk early on. It says, don't be like the Egyptians, don't be involved in perverse behavior. Again, like I told you, the Egyptians didn't have a proper sense of boundaries, men and women, part of the way they tortured us in Mitzrayim. And then the pasuk says, Parak Yud Ches pasuk Dal, take a look, you have it in front of you. Es mishpatai ta'asu ves chukosai tishmeru. Laleches behem ani Hashem Elokecha. Chok and mishpat. Mishpat and chok. However, I imagine everyone or almost everyone in the room knows the difference between a chok and a mishpat. What's a mishpat? What are mishpatim? What are chukim? Explains the word ditchver in case we don't know. Ki chukos heim ha-mitzvos she'en lem tam. A chok, chukim and mishpatim. Chok are those mitzvos that don't make sense rationally. That as a simple, rational human being, a logical person, I don't know, I cannot and I do not understand the nature of the command. What would be an example of a chok? Paraduma, shatnez, many things. What's an example of a mishpat? Ha-mishpatim hei mitzvos sheyesh lahem tam. Don't steal. Right? On a simple level, while on some level I don't get that, because there's always layers to why God commanded this line beyond my rational mind. But I get it. I get don't steal. I get don't kill. I get don't take advantage of another man's wife. I get all those things. We all get all those things. That's called mishpatim. Says the pasuk, as mishpatai ta'asu, v'schukosai tishmeru. So when I commit myself to doing those things that again don't make sense to me, nasa v'nishma, I'm going to do it even though I don't get it. Then I come to an understanding of those mitzvos that I already understood. You hear why I translated it that way? What's the word that you're saying? If I keep the chukim, I'll understand the mishpatim. So what's the question? I already understand the mishpatim. If I keep shatting this, I'll come to understand why I shouldn't kill. I don't need shatting this to understand why I don't kill. I understand. You just told me, mishpatim are those mitzvahs I understand that have rationale. I understand don't kill already. So what does he mean by this? By keeping the mitzvahs she'ein lam tam, that don't have a clear reason, amizdachich, shemenzai zoch, I become purified, bazeh, through this, I think you can say, by way of this, lahavina mitzvos sheyesh lahem tam. Then I come to understand the mitzvos that are logical. All right, let's keep reading. Let's see if we understand here. Avachos v'shalom kishadam eino osa mitzvos shem chukim. But if I turn my back on the chukim, if I don't do the mitzvos that are hard to understand, azai ein lo seichel klal lahavina mitzvos sheyesh lahem tam kedei lasos. Then I'll come to be the type of person who doesn't even keep the mishpatim. What's the word that you were saying? Yes, Hashem programmed you, without getting fancy, that mishpatim are also chukim. Without that. Mishpatim are logical, they're rational. Any normal thinking human being could create a society built on mishpatim. But if there's no bittul to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's what he's saying. I think he's saying. If there's no sense of nasa before nishma, if there's no bittul to a God, if everything's going to be man-made laws, then you know what could happen? I can lose my mind. To such a degree that murderous, evil behaviors, things which in a healthy, normal society would make perfect sense, all of a sudden we create a society which doesn't follow those rules. It doesn't follow the rules of Mishpatim. That's what he's saying. If you're not mavatl yourself to the chukim, then chas v'shalom. You know what could happen? Azai ein lo secha klal. If you're not willing to give your mind over to God, Hashem takes away your mind. Maybe not in the way that you think so, but you'll create a government, you'll create a legal system, you'll create rules that are completely irrational. And you'll think that you're doing right. You'll be from about it. You'll think you're thoughtful about it. You'll think you know better. That's the danger of a person who, God forbid, steps outside of the boundaries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind. That's why, of course, we've said many times that Rav Avi Bar Tanura opens up his commentary on Pirkei Avos in the late 1400s by explaining the first mission of Pirkei Avos. Why is Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai the introduction to Pirkei Avos? Ethics of the Fathers. The nice ideas of Hillel, of Shammai, of Nitahar Bailey, of Antignos Ish Socho. Why does it begin with the Mesorah, recounting the Mesorah, Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai? The Rav Avadya Bar Tanura says a very important insight. Because if you're not connected to the Mesorah, if you don't believe in Torah Misinai, if you're just going to create your own ethics, well, you know what's going to happen? Some things that you might consider ethical might not actually be ethical. So therefore, realize Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai. And when you read the opinions of Hillel and Shammai, says the Rav Avadya Bar Tanura, this is not Hammurabi's code. This is Torah Misinai. This is Hashem's ideas, transmitted to us by people who are the embodiment of those ideas. So when it says, Asei Lecha Rav, that's God talking. When it says, greet people with a smiling face, that's not Shammai speaking, that's Hashem talking. Through Shammai, who I Omer, he became the living embodiment of it. But again, don't disconnect yourself from the Seichel Eloki, from attaching yourself to God's wisdom, even things that your mind doesn't understand. Because if you do that, you'll end up creating a dangerously perverse society that totally negates what should be logical or rational. This is what Rabbi Nachman writes in the Likutei Moran, Tanyana, and Chelek Beis, in the famous Torah number 12. It's called Ayeh. He begins the Torah saying, "But when a person goes after his own mind and his own intentions, he could destroy the world." And he's being merames to different religions that emerged. Complete lies. Complete lies. But if you say it enough to yourself, you can convince yourself of anything. And you can even think that you're doing a good thing. You can think you're cleansing the world of the vermin called the Jewish people. Hitler, yamach shemo. If you negate chukim, you're bound to negate mishpatim. And that's what the pasuk is telling us. Vizeo es chukosai tishmeru. Chukosai tishmeru. Kishetasa mitzvah shem chukim shein lem tam. If you're going to be mavatli yourself to the supernal wisdom of Hashem, then Hashem will allow you to be a proper, rational, logical thinking person. You see, sometimes the biggest tzaddikim are the most logical, rational, down-to-earth people. You have tzaddikim who are mamish beyond, right? That's how they present themselves all the time. It doesn't mean that they're not logical and rational. But sometimes people who are mamish, big, big, big people will say something that's so clear, so logical. Because it's their sense of bittul to Kutsha Brichu, to Hashem, that allows them to maintain such a clear and rational mind. What's the last Mishnah of Mesechas Kinim? You know the last Mishnah of Mesechas Kinim? Listen to this. Just realize now. The last Mishnah of Mesechas Kinim. End of Kodshim. After Talmud, comes Midos, Kinim. Yeah? The last Mishnah in Kinim. It's actually printed before Talmud. In the order of Mishnah, it's the last one. The last Mishnah in Kinim. The Mishnah says, look at that, listen to this, amazing. Ziknei Ama Aretz. Right? Non-Jewish scholars. Kolzman Chehimaz Kinim Daitan Mitarefes Alayim. The longer they stay in the game, the older they get, the more convoluted their mind becomes. And quotes a pasuk in Iyov that Hashem takes away. Hashem controls the speech, the thoughts, the intentions. Vitam zakenim yikach. Right? Aval ziknei Torah einon kein. Says the last mission, Kodshim, life of Kedusha. Parshas Kedoshim, coming up. A person who negates his will to Hashem's will, like we learned in Pirkei Avos this past Shabbos, batel ritzon chavim de ritzono. Surrender yourself to Hashem. You're a zakin of Torah ein okein. You don't lose your mind. You don't lose your mind. The longer you stay in the game, the more wholeheartedly you're dedicated to Torah, your mind becomes refined, it becomes clearer. You're able to think more clearly and more logically than you did originally. Your mind becomes sharper. Not just talking about your physical mind. Yes, Nebuch, there are Ziknei Yisrael, who unfortunately have lost their minds, right? And the Gemara talks about broken luchos. A Torah scholar who unfortunately, due to illness, has lost his mind. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the clarity of a Zakin B'Yisrael versus the convoluted thoughts of a university professor where he can't even identify A and B by the time he's done with all of his philosophy. Everything is inside out and upside down. And it's a Bilbul Hadas. Daitan Mitzar Efesalav. So says the Pasuk, that's what our Pasuk is telling us. As mishpatai tasu, if you keep the eschukosai tishmeru, then there's a guarantee. As mishpatai tasu, And how does the pasuk end? Or how does the next pasuk? I apologize. The next pasuk right after says what? Asher yaseh osama adam v'chai b'ham. And if you do this, then you'll really be alive. Then you'll be a living human being the way that a human being is supposed to be. Sheyavin shamitzvos heim chiyus shalal. You'll see how the mitzvos give you chiyus in all aspects of your life. Okay, chaver, one more piece. The last piece in the parsha. The pasuk says, when it describes, again, the relationship between husband and wife, ish, el kol she'er b'saro, lo sikrivu legalos erva, ani Hashem. When a man is going to be intimate with a woman, he draws close to, she'er b'saro means a relative, be careful not to get involved in gilui arayos with one's relatives. One's relatives can be one's father's wife, who's not his mother, one's relatives could be his sister, one's relatives could be a lot of different things. Be careful not to get involved in arayos. Gilei arayos. Ani Hashem. Don't get involved in that. Navo levar kinei yadua mashamer David HaMelech alav shalom. Maybe the most famous pasuk in Mishlei. Perek Gimel. Bechol derachecha de'ehu. Know Hashem in all your ways. Dehainu shebechol asakav u'ma'asav yeh kavanaso rak b'shul tana gabori baruch. Everything that you do in this world, don't let it be self-serving, as we've seen so many times, as we just saw a second ago. Negate yourself to Hashem. Do it for God. So a person comes to me and says, Rabbi, I want to get married. You want to get married? That's so nice. Why do you want to get married? Why do you want to get married? Now you're going to say this is a very high level. It's a high level and it's also the most basic level. Why do you want to get married? What's your intention in getting married? Are you getting married because it's a mitzvah to get married? Are you getting married because you're bored, because you're lonely? I want to be able to provide for others. So provide for your roommates. Go sweep your apartment. The floor is disgusting. Right. Go clean your own bathroom. Who says you have to move in with a woman to do that? Right. I want to have children. Why do you want to have children? So you can have little slaves taking care of things for you? What do you want? What do you want from all this? No, seriously, what do you want for this? You have a taiva. You have a taiva for intimacy between Isha and Isha. That's normal. What do you want? What do you want from this? Why do you want to get married? Mashenose Isha lo mishum tavaso. Are you getting married to take or to give? Mashpi or Makaba, what do you want from this? Rak mishum shesivano Hashem yisbarach likach isha. Do you think that I'm doing this, as you're going to say under your chuppah, the bracha, the Masada Kedushin will make on your behalf? Asher kedishanu, because asher kedishanu b'mitzvosav, v'tzivanu al arayos. Am I doing this because this is a fulfillment of the Ratzon Hashem? Do I stop at all when I decide to start dating because God gave me a mitzvah to get married? Or is it just I want to get married? It's a hard question. Not making light of it at all. It's a very hard question. I've been married for 14 years. I don't know if I've ever can claim that one day of my marriage, I did it. I was married because Hashem wanted me to be married. This is part of my avodas Hashem. It's very hard. There's many other reasons, many ulterior motives in getting married. But we need to try to think about this, again, as all mitzvos, where there's tremendous enjoyment, a tremendous sense of personal fulfillment. And not to draw close to one's spouse because of his own pleasure or enjoyment, but to draw close, to want to engage in marriage and all that comes with it because of the Ratzon Hashem. And he says that's what our pasuk once again is reminding us. V'zeu kavanas hakasev ish ish el kol she'er b'saro. She'er b'saro, first and foremost, you know who your closest relative is? Your wife. She may not seem like a relative until you're married, but once you're married to her, she's your closest relative. She's closer, and the bond you have with her is much closer than the bond with your siblings or your parents or anyone else. She's referred to in the Torah, in Parshas Emor, when I talk about the Kohen being Metame himself. It refers to the wife as She'er Basar. She'er Basar means she's mamish flesh of my flesh, which is true. Adam and Chava. Ish ish el kol she'er b'saro, dehainul ishto, shehu she'er b'saro, when he draws close to himself, namely himself, as the part of himself that exists within his spouse, lo sikrivu legalos erva. You hear what it means? Pashup Shad is, don't get involved in arayos. Lo sikrivu, don't draw close, legalos erva. Don't do it for the arayos. Don't do it for self-serving reasons, self-gratifying reasons. Klomer, lo sikrivu elea, rak mishum legalos erva. Don't draw close to a woman because of what you get out of it. V'lo ba'avur tzivoy habore, where the tzivoy habore is not present, don't do it in that way. Right? Don't do it for the erva without the sense of I'm fulfilling a divine command. Al zehizir akosav lo sikravu bishvil zetzla. Don't draw close. Don't marry. Don't be intimate with your wife. Don't spend any time with a member of the opposite gender if it's not with the awareness. What I'm doing is I'm trying to create a yichud between kodesh brichu shchintay. This is a microcosm of me and Hashem. Again, there's normal feelings that a man and a woman should have for each other. Of course, don't turn your wife into just a cold form of avodas Hashem. Of course, that you're a human being, you're a person in a body, but don't for a second take a Kodesh Baruch out of the equation. Don't take Hashem out of the equation. Al zeh hizir akosav lo sikravu b'shvil zeh etzla rak b'shvil zeh. Because of this, you should draw close. He should draw close. I'm doing this because this is one of the ways I get close to Hashem. Wearing tefillin is how I get close to Hashem. Keeping kosher is how I get close to Hashem. Keeping Shabbos is how I get close to Hashem. Being intimate with my wife is how I get close to Hashem. Zekavanas akosav ani Hashem. And now you understand why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu sign off on this pasuk? Ish ish el kol she'er b'saro lo sikravu legalos erva. Rather, why am I getting involved here? Because I need Hashem. Because I understand this is, again, another healthy rung in that beautiful ladder and chain called the Avodas Hashem. Klomar, she'yikrav elea lachshov shani Hashem. That I, the capital I, Kodesh Baruch Hu, has commanded you to do this. V'umekaya mitzvosai b'zeh, and you're fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem by doing this. V'lo lanos atzmo klal. Obviously, the highest level is that there's no personal hana. But certainly, again, if we're not ready to be on that madrega, if we're not ready to be on the madrega of the Berditchever, to not get any personal hana, so at the very least, let's try to do it in such a way that at least the Kodesh Baruch Hu is part of the picture. This is the foundation of all mitzvahs. Right? The foundation of all mitzvahs is I do it because God said so. Mashpia here yet?
No.
So I'll just tell you one amazing thing I saw. I really want to give a whole shiur on this because there's so much to think about it. But I saw in a sefer, we've had this chus to learn from our Rebbe for so many weeks now. So I saw an amazing thing in the sefer, Birchas Av. It said that there were three tzaddikim, all who looked at Klal Yisrael in a different way. I'm not gonna tell you which one I think is the holiest way right now. They're all Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Kadoshim, Elu Ve'elu Develu Kim Chayim. And he connected it to a pasuk in Parshas Balak, which I'm not going to say now also, I don't have time for it. But just to hear the three madrigas, just so you'd understand the difference between the Baal Shem Tov and the Rebbe Reb Zusha and the Kedushas Levi. In the Sefer Birchas Av in Parsha Shmini, he says this. He says, the Baal Shem Tov looked at Jews, saw their Averos, and said, I still love you. Even though I see your Averos, I still love you. The Rebbe Reb Zusha was able to what? To not even see the Averos. I don't see Averos by Jews. I don't even look. I don't see Averos. I don't see any Averos. The Berditchever, the Heilige Berditchever, which, again, I leave it to you to decide which madrega this is. The Berditchever saw the Averos, but he turned them into mitzvahs. Three madregas. Baal Shem Tov saw the Averos, saw them as Averos, but still said, Afal Pichen, I love you. The Rebbe of Zusha says, Bechlal, I don't see the Averos. And the Kedusha Slevi, the Heilige Berditchever, was able to see the Averos and be mahapich them through his unbelievable koch of Limud Tzchus to turn them into mitzvahs. Okay, so, Ashreinu. It's not the last week, but Baruch Hashem, another week of learning Kedushas Levi again. What a big schuss. Okay, now another big schuss.